And now back to a man who proposed to his wife by asking, this looks like a war to you? Mark Maron!
Yeah. 24 past the hour. I am Mark Maron. It's my show. 877-520-1150 is the phone number. This is Progressive Talk 1150. We're going to be talking to Jeffrey Ross here in just 2 seconds. He's actually standing right here. I might as well introduce him. Yeah, this guy I've known for a million years. We sort of started out together. We've been friends on and off for a long time. I remember when he had a different name and he wasn't funny.
More off than on, by the way.
What do you want from me? Who was I friends with ever? Jeff Ross on the mic. Who was I ever friends with?
You always sort of kept to yourself.
Exactly. You know
really
why?
About talking to the Poochie for you, if I recall.
What does that mean?
You weren't really doing stand-up to hang out with the guys. You were there to, like, speak your mind and talk to girls after the show.
All right. There's nothing wrong with that for a guy
who's... I realize times have changed and you have a steady gig now and a steady woman and all that.
It is. It's a good news.
Talk about back in the day.
That's right. Well, we were talking about the Oscars earlier, and I think you and I share... So we actually have more in common than you think. We're both from New Jersey, number one. And number two, despite what you may know about me, I have a profound respect for the old guys.
Right.
I really do. I mean, I love Buddy Hackett. I love Don Rickles. I grew up watching those guys. I used to look forward to the roasts. These guys had gravitas. These guys were real stars. And I was talking about the Oscars earlier, and I was watching it, and I felt I didn't feel like there was enough real stars. Where the hell are the real stars anymore? I mean, Clooney's got a little something, but when Meryl Streep and Lily Tomlin came out, and then when Nicholson came out, it was as if, like, thank God, real stars.
You know what really drove me crazy was...
What?
They cut to a reaction shot during that Jennifer Aniston came out in a black gown.
Yeah.
Like she was about to announce the death of Princess Diana all
yeah,
over
right.
again.
Yeah, right.
Whereas then you see her cracking up watching Meryl Streep and Lily Tomlin.
Right.
You know, Jennifer Aniston's a funny lady. She could have come out and told a joke about costume design instead of she came out like she was in mourning.
Yeah.
The whole show was, and they played music
heavy.
Under everybody, this heavy piano music.
Right, and they literally bullied people off. They shut the lights on some guy before he even got to the mic. They shut the lights on.
Yet they let 90-year-old... What's her name?
Lauren Bacall.
Stand there for 3.5 minutes and read a speech from 90 feet away with nobody around her to save her.
Oh, it was
Phil
sad.
Hoffman has to have music and a lady standing next to him.
Right.
And he's got... But this old lady, they drag out there, and then they let her wander around during the interpretive musical dances. That was mean.
Oh, yeah. Is that who that was during that?
She was dancing by a flaming car. I don't know.
You know, it's weird when things get really human, though. Because I was watching that, Jeff. I'm watching Lauren Bacall. And there is that moment where all of a sudden you're like, oh, my God.
She's
going to die. Yes. What's going to happen? Like, you felt bad. It's like you're just hoping I'll get the train back on track. Don't hurt yourself.
Where was Robin Williams, the real stars, to come up there and save her?
He, oddly, as much as I dislike him, he is a real star. And I don't dislike him, but that was the wrong thing to say.
Saying is, where's the superstars?
Well, it's like when you watch the old roasts, okay? When it's like it's Rickles, it's Steve Martin, it's Jerry Lewis, you got Jimmy Stewart sitting there, you got Cary Grant before he died. I think that show business used to be a smaller operation,
right.
And everybody knew each other. And there was this type of, you know, whether they liked each other or not, the respect and professionalism was intact.
Sure.
And now you got all these young people, and not that I have anything against young people, but you want to see stars that have, like, the nachas to be stars. You know what I'm saying, Jew?
Absolutely, Jew. Absolutely.
So
Caesar the King is the only one still around.
Is he really?
Don Rickles, maybe.
Don Rickles is still around. I guess that's right. Most of them. Shelley Berman is still around.
Right.
Though
you know,
he wasn't really part
really
of it.
Really doing comedy anymore.
Berman's been very funny on that show. What a great resurrection on Curb Your Enthusiasm. He's just been great.
I love the traditions. You know, that's the one thing about the Oscars is I like. Is
yeah.
Jon Stewart. You know, think about how he did. I thought he did great. And he can wear Billy Crystal's tux and saves him $250.
Okay. Yeah. You wrote for Crystal, right? So you were probably sitting there. You probably watch it different than most people. You're like, I could have had a joke for that guy.
I'm very critical.
Yeah?
And shouldn't you be as tall as an Oscar to host the Oscars?
Yeah. Oh, good one. Yay, it's roast time. I can't handle the roast. I am not cut out for it.
No, but you are a good target.
Yeah. Yeah, because it really hurts me. We're going to talk.
You're a good sport. No, you got to be a good sport.
I've learned how to do that. We're going to talk to Jeff Ross about his film, about his experiences in Iraq as a comedian. I'm assuming not a soldier. In just a minute. So, why don't you stick around for that? I'm sure we'll talk about the Oscars for a minute. AM 1150 Progressive Talk. Stay with us. It's 28 past.
And now he's a convicted grave robber, but chicks dig him. Mark Maron.
Thank you, Jim. 35 past the hour. You're listening to AM Progressive Talk, 1150. You know, Lauren Bacall was great, though. You got to admit that, Jeff, don't you? She was great in her day.
She's 145 years old.
I know. They should take care. They should double-check that, make sure that they're capable.
Her SAG number is 3.
Oh, there you go. There's a classic. There's a classic. What's going on? You got, come on, roast me, man. Take a couple of shots. What do you got?
I only roast celebrities.
Bang.
Don't you got any music? You got some music?
Yeah,
something?
Bring it. Bring
get
it. Here we go.
Going.
Take some hips. All right.
What is this? James Bond?
Come on.
Don't you have anything?
What do you got?
You hippies.
Whoa. What do
hey,
you got?
Mark Maron. Yeah. Mark Maron, can you lower it a little bit? I'm not going to sing. Thanks. Mark Maron in the evenings.
It's a dating game, dude.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, I can't.
It's a little weird. That would be a little weird if him and I started doing that. You know what I mean? It's like, so, Mark, if I were stuck on a desert island, or
had a crappy late night radio show.
Yeah. Oh, there they come. They're sneaking them in. See,
no,
it's
this
not
is really good, Mark. I'm really glad you're back on the air.
Yeah, thank you.
I guess Al Jazeera doesn't do radio yet.
Oh, bang. I think they do, though. I think you can get them right downstairs. Queer Channel's now doing Al Jazeera.
Is that what really true?
No, go ahead. What else? Come on, bring it.
Mark, you got to love Mark. He just does a lot. You can just play this again? Yeah, no.
Come on, just in. Come on, take your best shot. Let's
go. Gotta love Mark. He just came back from Iraq. He was entertaining the insurgents.
Yay, that's good. I like that. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Folks, Mark Maron is to comedy what Ralph Nader is to comedy.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Okay.
All right.
Right. Is that it?
So how about this guy? What's your story?
It's Jim Earle.
You already asked that during the break.
This guy. I think were playing the banjo in Deliverance, weren't you?
Oh, hey, that's a classic.
You're making a joke about my hair.
Yeah. You know what you got to love about Jeff Ross? He's not afraid to use jokes that have been used by people that were using them then from other people. Not afraid to steal what's been stolen, that
How
Jeff
about
Ross.
These two guys right here?
Yeah, what about them?
How did you manage to find the cast of Bowling for Columbine?
That's Jason, a Jew from Wisconsin, Jeff.
Really? Rare.
He's a Jew
Very
from
rare.
Yes. That's Brendan McDonald.
Like a black guy from Alaska.
Exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's close.
I
that's
do a little
good.
Rickles racial thing that,
That's
going
good.
On
you, it's good. Great Rickles moment.
Yeah.
Did you ever meet him?
I met him. I sat next to him at Milton Berle's funeral.
Oh, really? Did he say, could you please get me a water or something? Aren't you the waiter? What is that?
Rickles, after the service, I'm in the private bathroom or whatever. Yeah. I go sneak in while they're all leaving. And I'm in there maybe 60 seconds, you know, doing what I got to do. And I come up and I zip up. I open the door. And there's Rickles with his hands on his hips.
Yeah.
He just looks at me. He goes, what, was there a dais in there?
Bang. Gotcha. Now, at Milton Berle's funeral, did they bury his penis separately?
His penis was actually buried 4 years earlier. And they had his ashes spread over the Friars Club.
That's one of the great, I guess it's not a myth that he had a very large member.
Yeah, once a year it would shed its skin.
Yeah.
That's how big it was.
Wow, that's big.
Milton Berle's penis?
Yeah.
Have you seen Tommy Lee's?
Uh-uh.
It has an elbow.
Yeah, that's big, the elbow. And
I'm
a hand.
Standing on it, that's how big it is. I'm standing on it right now.
Isn't everybody in Hollywood? That's how big it is. So let's talk about the movie, because you've done something good here.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us about the movie you directed while you're in Iraq and what it's about?
It's about the soldiers. It's about comedy. You'd love it, Mark. It's sort of understanding the job description better than I might have if I hadn't gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not political, believe it or not. It's entirely shot in Iraq on a handy cam.
So walk us through it. So you decide to do this.
I'm drunk at the Improv one night.
Yeah.
And Drew Carey hits me up to go to Iraq.
It's called Patriot Act, right?
Patriot Act, the Jeffrey Ross home movie.
So who hits you up to go to Iraq?
Drew Carey.
Okay.
And, I shrugged my shoulders. This is right after the fall of Saddam, right before they knew they still didn't know if he was dead or alive. They didn't know if there were weapons of mass destruction. I didn't know what I was getting into. I was looking for an adventure. I was kind of bored with what I was doing.
Yeah.
And I thought it might be, cool.
You know what's weird about that story already? I was bored with what you were doing.
Exactly.
Yeah, go ahead.
So now you see the problem.
Okay.
So, we went to BU, right? I went to film school a long time ago. My buddy Mark says, hey, man, let's go buy a video camera on the way to the airport.
Yeah.
And I did. And I started shooting like home video, thinking, I don't know, I'd have a couple shows. So I get over there and I start seeing amazing aerial views of what I took Crete and Fallujah and Baghdad and Baklava and all over the Sunni Triangle, and soldiers are talking to me very candidly and openly, and I'm not a reporter, you know, so I'm getting access.
Did they recognize you from the roast and stuff?
Sure, a little bit, but I was really sort of like, you know, shadowing Drew Carey, and there were seven comedians.
Right. Did any of them say, get me out of here, just put me in your suitcase, help me out?
I heard all sorts of things, and I still, you know, I've been back since, and you know, soldiers complain. That's normal for soldiers. But the truth is,
ones that are in conflicts that were based on lies and completely unwinnable. Go ahead. Anyways, what you were saying?
And I purposely went over there to try to, you know, cheer people up. And in the end, probably cheer myself up a little bit.
Yeah.
It was the best crowds ever. I highly recommend it, Mark.
Well,
they would love you.
What's interesting is there's a couple things that stand out in your story. First of all, that your buddy from film school actually had to tell you to buy a video camera. So you guys are both doing...
he happened to be... he had a good idea.
And as far as people being...
I didn't go there to make a movie. I went there to do the
show. Who else? I'm being condescending, and I don't want to do that. Who else on the show with you?
Drew Carey. Kathy Kinney from his show.
Yeah.
And Blake Clark from all the Adam
Blake
Sandler.
Clark, how are you? Guy? I'm a Vietnam vet.
He survived two tours of Vietnam, yeah. Parts in six Adam Sandler movies. he had a very emotional turn.
I bet
over the trip, and it's all in the film.
And what was that around? Just in terms of how does he feel about Vietnam? Maybe I should get him in here to talk about it.
He'd be a great guest. He has a lot of mixed feelings.
I imagine.
He talks in the film about when he was a soldier, the USO was the only friends the soldiers had because the public didn't support the soldiers in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys get that. I think there was some jealousy. Blake went in with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. And when he actually went out and met the soldiers, the guys, your crew right here, if we switched outfits, if we put on Army uniforms, believe it or not, we would look a lot like what the regular Army looks like. We're so used to seeing the Marines and Fahrenheit and, you know, like all hotheads and stuff like that. But the regular Army, the reserves, they're not like that.
So you didn't have, there was no political agenda in this and there was no politics. This was just strictly about entertaining the troops.
This was strictly for me, before it was even that, it was about an adventure, seeing something as an eyewitness.
Yeah.
Didn't have a big opinion on it.
Did you interact with any locals?
Sure. Met Iraqi people and Iraqi translators and bellhops. And
what was that like?
It was great, you know. It was mostly the language of comedy, trying to just, you know, like a tumbler, making my way through Iraq.
Did you see Albert Brooks's comedy in the Muslim world?
I haven't seen it.
It's not very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you find that you were able to make Iraqis laugh?
Absolutely.
Anyone?
Yeah.
How would
you
do
that?
There's
a scene in the movie where I'm in the Al Rashid Hotel. A day later in the movie, it gets mortared by insurgents.
Yeah.
It's in the green zone in Baghdad. They lobbed sort of a test run for what they did to Wolfowitz like 5 weeks later when they scared the crap out of him. I don't know if you remember that. They killed a lieutenant colonel. But while we were there, they basically mortared the same sort of side of the hotel. And I'm talking to these bellhops. There's six guys.
Yeah.
And I'm teasing them about when Colin Powell came through and how he's a lousy tipper and this and that. And you know, they got a big kick out of it. They recognized sort of Drew Carey, and I goofed on that a little bit. And it's one of the best scenes in the movie is me talking to an Iraqi translator. You know, they don't give their real name, and I talked to him for a couple minutes. He's teaching me some words in his language, and suddenly I mention that I'm Jewish, and it's end of conversation. It's a very fascinating dynamic between the Jews. I had lunch there with seven Jewish soldiers on Rosh Hashanah.
Really?
And in one of Saddam's birthday palaces in Tikrit, his hometown.
Were you there for Yom Kippur?
I was not.
Are you going back for Passover? I wonder if they get a Seder together.
I like to have Tishu B'Av in Fallujah.
I don't know.
I can't even say Tishu B'Av in Fallujah.
Maybe you could have a Sukkot in Baghdad.
I highly recommend, if there's any chance to support the USO, non-political way to really be patriotic. USO.org. It's a great organization.
Well, I imagine they'd have to be appreciative. I certainly don't have any experience with that, and I think I'm probably... I don't know if that's true. I'm a little too reactionary in my comedy.
But you know what? It gives you...
When,
as soon as you're an eyewitness, Mark, you know, it gives you a little bit more of a right to speak out, a little bit more of a voice in what's going on. You've seen it.
Yeah.
So a guy like you should do whatever he could to get to Walter Reed or...
I wouldn't mind doing that, but I just wonder in terms of having an experience in Iraq. I mean, did you were pretty well taken care of. You were in a secured situation.
My hotel was mortared. You know, it was a sacrifice on all the part of the performers. Not all trips are like that, but it,
No, that's not true.
They couldn't even take care of the comedians.
I did I did a gig in Ohio that was very similar. And it was
must have been at college with Rich Voss.
Rich Voss, how's he doing?
They can't keep him.
How's Rich Voss doing?
He's good. He's married.
He married Bonnie McFarlane.
Yeah.
How do you like that? So where can we see this film of yours?
You can see it next week. It'll be at the South by Southwest Film Festival in Austin, Texas.
Will it be at your house on Friday if I come over?
No, I don't know. Watch TV on Fridays, but on Saturday after. No, I'm just
maybe
kidding.
Saturday afternoon I'll come watch.
Yeah, you can come by. You can come by and see it anytime, but everybody else will have to wait till Memorial Day.
Is your buddy mad at me? I'm getting the feeling he's looking at me like he's giving me a dirty look.
No,
are you mad at
Ty
me?
Is an awesome guy. Buddy. He's an artist. He's helping me with my film. And
I do. I project personalities onto people when I feel insecure, and I just assume
he's
that
he's concentrating.
He is?
Yeah, he's very focused.
Yeah. So now it's going to.
It's going to be on Showtime.
Showtime, that's
a Memorial Day. What a great day to support the troops.
That is a good day for a premiere of a show about humoring the troops and being a
Patriot Act, the Jeffrey Ross whole movie.
All right, so would you go back? I mean, are you going to go back? Because I know they do these things a lot.
You know, unfortunately, I think I have to go back. It's like it's going to go on forever. It's a nightmare. So, yeah, I'll go back. I'll go back for the right reasons this time, not to make a movie, not to see what it's all about, but to really... You know, we all say we support the troops, but it's so hard to actually do it. Other than, I mean, put a ribbon on your car doesn't really help anybody. So this is the little bit that I could do.
I wish the government would support the troops. And that's,
that's another thing, Mark. I went over there, I confused the government with the military. And it's two different things.
Right.
People don't realize that. It's totally different.
Yep.
Soldiers do their job with no questions asked.
Mm-hmm.
Where the government does whatever they want.
That's right. And they take advantage of these guys a lot of times. So let's ease it up. What do you got coming up in terms of comedy?
I'm going to be I don't know.
You don't got any big plans? You have any big shows
actually,
coming up?
Actually, Tracy Morgan and I. Tracy Morgan, remember Tracy?
Yeah, I do remember from Saturday Night Live. Didn't he get himself in a little trouble lately?
He had a DUI the other day, but he's okay. I'm going to see him in the morning.
He's okay? What about the people he hit? I'm kidding. Go ahead.
No, he didn't hurt anybody. He's he's a happy drunk.
Yeah.
I love him. Yeah, I have a show coming out.
Happy drugs get DUIs. Maybe a happy drug should not get in the car. What do you think?
He probably shouldn't be driving too much.
So you gotta
I love him, but he does like time travel in his head. He doesn't need to be behind of a wheel of a car.
I'll tell you, sometimes I talk to that guy, and as funny as he can be occasionally, I can get into a conversation with him within seconds. I'm like, where are we? What are you talking about?
He makes you look stable, right.
I don't know where the hell he goes, and I don't know if it's a liquor or what, but boy, he'll go.
But he was like that when he was a kid. You know, we remember when he was 15 years ago, he was the same way.
I don't remember him 15 years ago.
He used to walk around with a twirly hat on. He was crazy.
Oh, that's right. He had the twirly hat. I remember Chappelle from like 16 years ago when he was 12 and he started doing comedy.
Yeah.
I remember Tracy Morgan now with the twirly hat. That's right. Isn't it weird to see everybody getting older? Isn't it wild?
Yeah, I feel young.
Yeah, well, I hate to break it to you.
Yeah, but, comedians are ageless.
Yeah.
Comedians are ageless.
Yeah, they are. They are ageless as long as they remain funny. I mean, that's the one thing, weird thing. It's like you keep pushing your barometer of success up, you know. It used to be like, now it's like Louis Black. Like, I am like, hey, he didn't break till he was 50-something. You know, still got a shot at breaking big, right?
There's no rules, man.
That's right, man. No rules, dude.
We're talking about Shelley Berman, you know what I mean?
There's always...
Comedians, are not like rock stars. They're not like, even writers have it hard. Comedians, we can keep doing it.
Just got to be funny and stay topical. Jim, you want to play us out here? You want to play me and Jeff? Thanks for coming, Jeff Ross.
Congratulations on your new show, everybody.
Thank you, and congratulations on you being you and your new film.
Thank you.
It premieres at South by Southwest, and it's going to be on Showtime in May. It's called Patriot Act. Our guest has been Jeff Ross, and now Jim Earle will take us out with a song.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mark Maron comes to me, speaking words of wisdom on his show. Mark Maron, Mark Maron.
Very original.
Mark Maron, Maron. Speaking words of wisdom on his show.
Can you open for me at Guantanamo Bay in a couple of weeks?
Shut up.